Good morning. We're going to continue in our series. Since the beginning of January, we've been talking about Jesus being revealed through the lens of John, the disciple and apostle John. And last week, Phil finished the end of 3 John. John also wrote the book of Revelation. There's just a couple weeks left in 2024, so we're not going to cover all of the book of Revelation, but we're going to do the first three chapters, and that's what we're doing. We're almost to the end. Phil and I, we've never done this at Grace. We've never had a teaching series for an entire year. Obviously, there's been special speakers at times, so we haven't done this series all 52 weeks, but I forget what part we're on. We're on, I don't know, something like 46 or something. So A lot of looking at Jesus through John. So this morning we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1. I want to say a little bit just to introduce. Remember that the purpose of the series is not to do exposition of every passage, but to look at who is Jesus revealed in this passage. And so we're looking through the lens of John. John was a disciple of Jesus. Jesus called him. He walked with him. He lived with him. He did ministry with him. And then John was present at the crucifixion of Christ, and then he wrote letters. He was involved in the ministry to the early church, and he wrote letters. And so we looked at the Gospel of John, and then we looked at the books that John wrote. And so Revelation is the last book that he wrote. And so as we read this morning, as we read Revelation chapter 1, we're going to be looking at who did John know and experience Jesus to be? What's the evidence in this letter of how he experienced Jesus? And then, like we've been doing all throughout this series, we're asking ourselves, do I know Jesus in this same way? Have I experienced Jesus in this way? And is this Jesus the same one that I reveal to others? So John knew Jesus. He experienced him just like you and I. And what we've experienced of Jesus, Phil has been saying, you can only give away what you've received. We can only give the part of Jesus that we've experienced. Otherwise, you're just talking about something you knew. You know, like, well, I heard about a guy. Right? What's the impact of that? Like, that's secondhand, thirdhand knowledge. But when you've experienced something about who Jesus is, you've touched him, he's touched your life, you can share that with a different measure of authority, you can share that with a different amount of conviction, right? And so we're looking at, this morning, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1 and ask those questions. Who does John know Jesus to be, and do I know him in the same ways? And so you can turn to Revelation 1 if you have it, I'll have it up here, and we're just going to read through. I've never preached a message from the book of Revelation. It's kind of fun. I've referenced it, but never like gone through. And so this is going to be a fun, it's fun to do. I think it's one of the least preached on books of the Bible. In my personal reading in the Bible right now, I'm in Ezekiel. That's also a less preached book. Not especially cheerful, not especially fun. But as I'm reading it, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You know, like this man encountered a God that I don't encounter as much. And so there's so much to learn. I'm learning so much this year from books that I haven't read a lot or haven't taught from. And so this is going to be a fun couple of weeks looking at Revelation. So I'm just going to read the first few verses. It's kind of a prologue here from John. Starting in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. And I'm going to stop there. We're just going to take this in some bite-sized portions. So this is kind of, I would call it the prologue to the letter, and there's some key truths. First, you know, it was titled by somebody sometime the book of Revelation, probably because John says this is a revelation of Jesus. Revelation just means the revealing of. So this is a portrait, this is a portrayal of Jesus Christ. And we see in this prologue that John is saying, as he introduces it, that the purpose of this letter is to show us what is to come. And so the purpose is identified right away. John says it's communicated by an angel of Christ, right? Communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. So there we see that John is saying, this was communicated to me by an angel, and he ascribes the angel to be of Christ, and that he calls himself a bondservant of Christ. So he is saying, I'm connected. I am surrendered to Christ. And he tells us that he's going to say what he heard and what he saw. I think that it's interesting. He says, even to all that he saw. So that's part of this introduction. We're finding that we're not just going to get information. We're also going to be told what he sees. We know that the book of Revelation is a lot of visions that God gave to John. I like that, you know, I think there's another key in verse 3. John believes that this will be a blessing to the readers. So that he puts that in this little prologue, that this, he believes it will be a blessing. But notice it says that to those who read and hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written. So it's not just, you'll not just be blessed if you hear it, but he also emphasizes response or taking action. And then the last little phrase there, for the time is near. There's an urgency to this letter that John is writing. There's an urgency and a relevancy. It says that it's important that we hear it and that we heed it, for the time is near. And so that's what I think we can pull out from that little bit. Let's continue verses 4-8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. And then verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And so here we see that John is directing this message to the seven churches in Asia. And then he identifies some truths about Jesus in these verses. He says that Jesus is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So he's like, that's, you can gather that from the other writings of John, but he's like reminding us, and it puts Jesus outside of our understanding of time, right? He's saying this isn't just Jesus now or Jesus who was. Remember, John walked with Jesus. So in his mind, there would be a distinct line between the Jesus that he knew personally, like saw him physically, could touch him, hear his words with his audible, you know, with his actual ears, versus how he relates to God now is different. And he's saying this is that God, that Jesus is outside of that. He was, he is to come. And then he says some things here. Jesus is he calls him the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. And so I just want to say a little bit about each of those, because I think John is reminding us of who Jesus is, and then he's going to get into what the visions that he saw that God gave him. And so he says that he's the faithful witness. Think of John's gospel that we studied for months of this year. John said in his gospel that Jesus was present with God at the creation of the world. And so he's the faithful witness. Jesus witnessed all of all of time. All that there was to witness since creation, Jesus was a part of that, even though there was a day when he was born and he showed up on the scene, and there was a day when his ministry started more publicly. And yet John's reminding us that Jesus existed from the beginning of time, that he's a faithful witness. We see that, like I said, in his gospel. And then this is an interesting phrase, the firstborn of the dead. So think about that for a minute. John refers throughout his gospel to Jesus being the Son of God, or the firstborn of God. The firstborn of dead, like Jesus was the first to overcome death in the sense that he did, right? Others died before him, but Jesus was resurrected in his physical body after having been dead in his physical body. And he went on, and he went on to live and to ascend to heaven. He never died again. There were others that were resurrected in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. There were others who resurrected, that God resurrected from the dead, but they went on to live and die again, right? Jesus's death was different. And so I think that's a little bit of what he's referring to here, firstborn of the dead, and that he, in that rising from the dead, he defeated sin in a dramatic way, right? Jesus was sinless, and yet he took on the sin of mankind and was raised from the dead. And I think that's some of what John's referring to. Again, we're not going for the deep dive into the meaning of every word in this chapter of Revelation. We're saying, who did John know Jesus to be? He knew him to be one who had defeated death. He knew him to be distinguished in that way among all men. The ruler of the kings of the earth. He just states it like this is a matter of fact. This is truth. I don't know exactly what he meant by that. I could guess. But again, we're seeing who John asserts Jesus to be. And he just says this as if it is a matter of fact and needs no explanation, that he just is. He is, to me, it shows that he has authority over earthly things. To be the first born from among the dead speaks of Jesus' authority over the spirit realm. The fact that he is the king over earthly rulers speaks of this physical realm, that he has authority here. And then we see in the second half of verse 5, John speaks to Jesus' love, that he loves us and released us from our sin by his blood. Again, reference to Jesus' death. The theme of God's love, Jesus' love, was a huge part of John's gospel, right? John knew himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so here, again, he's making that reminder that Jesus is, that he loves us, that his victory is ours. He releases us from our sins by his blood, has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father, reminding us of who we are, that we're a new kingdom that's not defined by the earth or flesh realm, but we are defined by our relationship with God. And it's for his glory. He made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory, the dominion, which is power, authority, forever and ever. Amen. And then look at verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. I think there's a foreshadowing here. John's saying, you're going to see him in a new way. John has seen him in a new way. You know, he's writing about what he has seen, and he's expecting that that's going to bring revelation to the people who are reading it. I find it interesting in verse 7 that it says that we will see him, even those who pierced him. That regardless of your attitude toward him, you will see him. He will be revealed to you, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Interesting. Is that mourn over their response, their previous response? I don't know. But so be it. Amen. And then we have verse 8, which kind of hangs out there in between these two sections. And it's something that I think John's telling us something that he heard God say. I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and last, says the Lord God, who was and is to come, the Almighty. John's already said that. Like John said, I know him to be this, but then he's saying, this is what God said. And so we have God identified by himself there in verse 8. Yeah. All right, let's go on. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. All right. So John identifies himself to his readers. In verse 9, he also identifies himself with his readers in verse 9. He says who he is, that he's anybody, identifies himself in context of who's going to be reading. So he says, I'm your brother. I'm a fellow partaker of tribulation, of the kingdom, of perseverance, which are in Jesus. So he kind of sums it up, like all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No, the good, the bad, and the godly. John's like, I'm with you. I'm writing to you, but I'm with you. We have this in common. He tells us where he was when he received the vision. I was on an island called Patmos. Why was he there? Verse 9 says, because of the word of the Lord and the testimony of Jesus. I think he's saying, God put me here. I'm on assignment. I was where I was because that's where God sent me and because I had something to testify about. And then he talks about when. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So it was a Sabbath. He was in the Spirit. I think that means he was encountering God. He was, what was he praying? Was he hosting the Spirit? I don't know, but he was focused on God, right? He was in the Spirit. It's on the Lord's day, and he describes what happened. He says he heard a voice behind him like the sound of a trumpet. Here again, you have to think, we're talking about hearing God, which is it's not the same as your auditory ears. He's trying to explain something. He says that it sounded like a trumpet, but also he gave it words. He said it sounded like a trumpet, and it said, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, and it names the seven churches. And so we have who he is, where he was, when it was, and what his instruction was. To see this, to listen, to write it, and to send it to the seven churches. All right, let's move on to what? To the what? We have the who and the when. All right, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Now, before we try to unpack that, if you close your eyes, and just remember that God is spirit, and he made you. You are spirit. You are a body, but you are also a spirit. And the spirit part of you is just as alive, if not more so, than your body. And we don't connect with God from our mind to his spirit. We connect with him through our spirit. And I just want us to remember that. And God, we want to encounter you more than understand you. We want to know you more than we want to explain you. And so, for myself and all those listening who agree, we call our spirit to the forefront. We call our spirit to attention over our mind. We want to understand on a spirit level. We want to encounter and experience God as spirit men, spirit women, not subject you to the knowledge of this world, but we would encounter you on a spirit realm. And so as we look at these verses, verses 12 to 16, remember what John has already said. He said that he saw this, and he was told that it was a revelation of Christ that he was being told because the time is near, and there's something to be heard, that we would heed it, that we would have a response to it. And so, like I said in the beginning, I'm not gonna go into all of these things. There's books written about this. What we're doing is saying, who did Jesus reveal himself to John? How did he reveal himself? What did John see and experience of Jesus? And so here we see that just this description. I'm just going to point out what you see there in the verses. John says he looks toward the voice that was speaking, and he saw seven lampstands that were golden. In the middle of those, it says, I saw one like a son of man, and he describes the clothing. Now, son of man is a phrase that John used numerous times in his gospel. And when we studied that, we looked at how he was saying that Jesus was God, but also man, that he was born as a baby, he was born from a woman. It was a miraculous conception, but he was also man. And John used that as a term to refer to the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus was connected and dependent on God, but he was also a man. But it's interesting to me here that John says that he saw one like a son of man. What it shows me is that John did not recognize this being as Jesus, or he would have said, I saw Jesus standing in the midst of seven lampstands. He says, I saw one like. There was a resemblance between this vision, this being, and Jesus, but he used the term, he said, like a son of man. Like if I saw someone, I know someone well, you know, like if I see someone, I'm like, oh, that person is like my friend, and use their name. If I knew it was them, I would just say, that's my friend, Linda. If I'm, oh, that friend is like my friend Linda. That, you know, there's a difference. To me, I'm reading into this that John, there was a recognition, but it was not the same. Jesus was appearing in a new way. And then he goes on to describe, which is very different than, John actually never gives a physical description of Jesus in his gospel. He never tells us how tall he was. He doesn't say what he usually wore. There's no description. Like, we kind of get it from the Chosen series or all the movies that have ever been made about the Bible, or the little figurines that always show Jesus in a white tunic with a blue sash. John, it's not in the Bible. Look for it. But here we see this very specific description of what John saw: long robe, girded with a golden sash, head and hair like white wool, eyes like a flame of fire. I don't know what that means. It's pretty glorious when you, like, it's kind of intense and crazy. Feet like heated bronze, not just like bronze, but bronze that's been heated in a furnace. That's what his feet were like. A voice like the sound of many waters. Right hand holding seven stars, out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. Face was like the sun, not just the average sun, but a sun shining in its strength. That's quite a description. Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. So there's John's response. That was the what? And so John fell like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." I think for this morning, these are the most important verses for us. I think the introduction, those first verses, and then this right here. And some of us, our mind would want to go to what we just read, the description, this glorious description that we read of what he saw. But then our minds would start to try to figure out why. What does it mean that his eyes were like flames of fire? Why was his hair like white wool? I think this feels like it has a greater weight. Because here we see John's response and what happened. So it says that he fell at his feet like a dead man. Why would that happen? Like it was too something. It was too much. It was too glorious. It was impactful. And his response was to drop down. But what did this angel, spirit, being, Jesus, whatever, what did he do? We see that in verse 17. He placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid." John doesn't tell us that he fell in fear, but that's what happened. The response of the being, the heavenly being, was to call out fear. "Do not be afraid. I am the first and last, the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." This was a message for John the man who was overwhelmed and laying in a heap at the foot of something that was overwhelming him. And this is what God said to him. And I think that is more important for us to encounter Jesus than what does the lampstand mean and why was his hair white and his eyes like flaming fire. Because however Jesus is going to reveal himself to you, I think what we see here is that he reveals himself because he has something to say to you, and you cannot be afraid if you want to hear it. And so you have to remember that he is alive, that he has all the power. He has already overcome everything that has overcome him. And so when you are overwhelmed by him, the key is to remember that he is not overwhelmed or overwhelming. There is no place for fear. And so here John has this response, and then this being speaks to him and calls him into a different response. And then he says, "You're going to write this down. There's a message." But then look in verse 20. Then there's also explanation. This is why this is so important to me, that here what John's revealing to us is that the Jesus he knew, the Jesus he encountered, sometimes overwhelmed him to the point that his response was to be as if he were dead, and still God was calling him out, speaking against fear, reassuring him who he was, and explaining what he did not know. He doesn't speak to everything. He says nothing about the white wool or the golden sash. But he does say, "As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands," he explains. He just says in plain language what they are. The stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. And so here I think we see both mystery and understanding. We see fear and we see the absence of fear, the calling out of fear. He tells John that he will write what he has seen and what he has heard and what will take place. It's like John's there on the floor and this revelation of Jesus is saying, you're only at the start, buddy. There's a lot more to come. So you're going to have to get out of fear. And I'm going to show you something. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. And then he gives him some explanation. And that's the end of chapter 1. Phil's going to do chapter 2 next week. That's going to be an adventure. I was happy to get chapter 1. All right. So who is Jesus as revealed in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation? A lot. A lot more than I thought there would be. There's a lot here. First, Jesus will reveal himself in a new way. I think that's one thing that John is showing us, is that John, in all that John had experienced of Jesus, there was something new this day. He was on the island of Patmos. He was worshiping God. He was there on assignment. He had faith for why he was there. And then something happened that he never experienced, and it laid him out flat. Jesus will reveal himself in a new way. And then I think we have some reminders of who Jesus is from John. Jesus is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. That's not new. That's on our list of revelation statements from the Gospel of John, but John's reminding us. I think in the midst of something new, he's also saying this is consistent with all that we have known. It says that he reminds us that Jesus is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So again, just some reminders that speak to the authority of Jesus, that his authority is both spiritual and earthly. And it is a mixture of the two. Even that term, Son of Man, it is mixing the deity of Jesus with his submission to being human. And so he's reminding us of Jesus' authority, revealing that. And then the other reminder John gives us in this chapter is that Jesus is the one who loves us and releases us from our sin by his blood. I think we also see Jesus revealed in chapter 1 of Revelation as that he will give new revelation and instruction. You think about John that we've studied all of this time, like he got a lot of instruction from Jesus, and he's not done. And so I think that's part of what we're, how we see Jesus revealed in this chapter, is that he is continuing to give new revelation and new instruction. Next, I see that Jesus sends us to other people. In this chapter, we see that John, there was no doubt in his mind what his instructions were. He was being sent with a message to seven churches. He knew them by name. Jesus sends us to others. Next, he explains what he shows you. Does he explain all of it? No. Does he explain it to where there's not any shadow of doubt in you? You understand it completely? No. But does he leave you completely without understanding? No. He does. This reminds me of the times in John's gospel where Jesus would teach a parable and then they would ask questions and he would explain it. He didn't explain all of it, but he explained some of it. Or some of it was recorded. Did they then go and ask him, hey, we have more questions. We want to hear about this aspect of that parable. But it's not that he's without explanation. And then lastly, Jesus removes fear. I think it's a strong agenda of Jesus to speak against fear. And so this is our list from Revelation chapter 1. This is how, there's probably others that you could pull from this, but these are the ones that I see that this is how John's revealing Jesus to be from this chapter. And so then we ask, like, do you know Jesus in these ways? Have you experienced this? Not have you experienced this vision or this type of an encounter? I haven't. But have you experienced something like it? Do you know Jesus? Do you know this Jesus, the Jesus that of those characteristics? Have you experienced that? I wanted to share a testimony. This is in maybe the middle of October. I had a time where I was in a prayer time, praying, worshiping, and I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit inviting me, but it was different. And it's tricky to talk about how we hear God, right? So it just was. I don't know how to say how it was different, but it was different to where I said, "Oh, this is different," and I asked the Holy Spirit, "How is this different?" And he said, "Peace is calling you. Peace." And not it didn't feel like Jesus. It didn't feel like the Father. It didn't feel like the Holy Spirit. It felt different. And I was reminded this was the week after Wendy Backlund was here. And in that moment when I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Peace is calling you," I remembered Wendy in her message talking about angelic beings and talking about the spirit of things. And all of a sudden I realized, yeah, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So I said, "Oh, Jesus is calling me." And then I realized it didn't fit. Like it didn't resonate in my spirit. And then I just said, "Oh, the presence of peace." And so I just surrendered to that. Like, is peace, the presence of peace, like the spirit of peace, inviting me? And that felt like an invitation. And so I can't describe it. And it was not a visual thing. I often do not encounter God in a visual sort of way in my imagination. It's much more feeling and hearing, kind of this intuitive sense of what's being said. And in that, but it was very different. It was a very different encounter than what is normal to me in my relationship with God. And I felt like I was standing, looking at myself and my life. And I felt like on the other side, apart, distant from me, was this spirit of peace. And he was saying, "I see you differently." And there was an invitation to get his perspective. There was an invitation to stand with peace and view the same circumstances that I was viewing from my own perspective. And it was an amazing encounter. It just was. So I wanted to share that testimony because as I read through this Revelation chapter 1, I thought of that. And I thought, it's nothing like what John's describing here. And it's not something... I'm not sent there. It didn't come with instruction, but there was a response in me in that prayer time. I don't know how to describe it, but I just realized some things. I realized some things about how I view my circumstances and how different it was if I stepped into peace, how I viewed my circumstances. And so, I mean, I was left being very undone. To say that I was peaceful is like an understatement. I would say I was anchored. I was weighty. I was on the floor. You know, I was so peaceful, deeply peaceful. And then because it's easy for me in a sense, like it's natural to me to write. I wrote after that encounter. I wrote just what was in my heart. And so I put this up here because that's I think a lot of you know this. The last couple of years, I've been trying to be more disciplined about sharing my writing. And so I have a blog that I post weekly. This year, my goal was to post every week. And I think apart from our vacation week, I think I'm on track for every week. And so the blog is... Hope Victorious www.blogspot.com. The QR code right there would take you to that very one. It's called Invitation. I wrote a piece kind of like a poem of my response to that invitation to peace. And I'm not going to read it this morning, but I just wanted to share the testimony. Like, as I read this chapter, I thought, it is amazing to think that you can know God and feel like you have experienced so much of Him and then have something happen that's never happened before. And I think that's some of what John was tasting. And I just want to say it's possible for us too. I never had an experience like that. And then I did. Just one day. It just happened. And now I'm looking for it. Like, oh, that'd be awesome if that happened again. And it's just a testimony to say that God's I believe God is doing new things. And I believe that if we're always looking for the same thing, we might miss some of the new things that He's doing. And it is different. And there's a vulnerability to sharing it. Like, well, so how do I know for sure that was God? Well, it just felt like God, to be honest. And you know what? The fruit was pretty good. And so you can read it if you want. And then you can go to the next slide. I would love for you to stand. I'm going to close just by reading this last little bit. This is when John was responding. You know, he's overwhelmed. He's there on the floor. And this heavenly being, this is what was spoken over John. And I believe these words can be powerful for us too. Right? This God would say this over us as well. And so I just want you to receive it as I pray it. Remember that God, it says in the scripture, that perfect love casts out all fear. Like, you are loved. You're loved like an identity. He covers you with His love. One of my friends recently said, He covered my shame with a robe of love. And God exists outside of time. That's a reassurance for us, because anything we're facing, He's greater than it, right? Anything that overwhelms you, He can overwhelm. And He's never overwhelmed. He's alive. God is alive. He was dead, and now He's alive. There's so much power in that. Behold, I am alive. And then this last part, the keys of death and Hades. There's nothing that comes against you that is not within the authority of God. Nothing. There's no future doom that has not already had its victory purchased in Jesus. And so I just want to read this over you. I'm going to read it a couple times. This is what God would say over you. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. God, we receive your words to John for ourselves. In any place where we are overcome or overwhelmed, any place where we are afraid, any place where the enemy is speaking doom, we hear your words. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. God, we thank you for what is in your hand. Ha! Thank you for what's in your hand. Thank you for what's in your grasp, that you hold authority and power over every enemy, over death itself. Thank you for what we understand of that and what we do not. Even in this picture that John saw, these stars in your hand, these lampstands, this sword, these eyes. Even what we don't understand, God, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Spirit that rides above our understanding. We pray that we would understand in our spirit what we cannot comprehend with our mind. Thank you, God, that you are a God who reveals yourself to your people, and you are never done revealing yourself to your people. Thank you that you will reveal yourself in new, fresh ways. Thank you that we can be on the lookout for it. I pray that this week, the people of Grace would encounter you in new ways, that we would hear your invitation to us to come higher, to view ourselves from a different perspective, to hear you in a new way, to see you in a new way, that our spirits would encounter you in new ways. And we pray that we would hear you, see you, that we would understand our instruction, and that we would respond with courage. Thank you that we are loved by you, that we are set free from the impact of sin by your blood. Thank you that you cover our shame with your robe of love, and we stand up under it. We receive that you put your hand on us when we are afraid and overwhelmed, and you call us to be unafraid because we are sons and daughters of the one who was, who is, and is to come. Amen.